You're listening to ABC Radio National, on air, online, and on the ABC Listen app.
When they were born in small town Canada in 1934, no one thought the Dion sisters would survive. Quintuplets, five identical girls, arrived at the height of the Great Depression. But against the odds, the Dion girls lived, becoming the first quintuplets in recorded medical history to survive infancy. They became global sensations, but their lives were also marked by exploitation after they were removed from their family and installed in a tourist attraction dubbed Quintland. Now the last surviving Dion Quint has died. Annette Dion was 91. Craig Baird is host of the Canadian History X podcast and joins me now. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Paint me a picture, if you would, of the time and place that the Dion girls were born into.
Well, when they were born in 1934, it was kind of the heart of the Great Depression for Canada. And, you know, people were kind of looking for some kind of big news story, some good news story. And the survival of these five girls, when they were born, the quintuplets, was kind of a huge story and something that a lot of people latched onto. I mean, the girls were famous pretty much from the moment they were born, as soon as news got out.
And then at some point, they were actually removed from their families. Why was that?
Well, the Ontario government, so they were born in the province of Ontario, and the Ontario government ruled that they were being exploited by the family. So they passed what was called the Dion Quintuplets Guardianship Act in 1935. And like I said, their goal was to prevent their exploitation, but then they did exactly that by exploiting the children and creating Quintland. And it was essentially a human zoo where people would come and they would look through one-way glass at the children if they were playing or studying or whatever they were doing. And it became a massive tourist attraction. Thousands of people were going there every day. And at one point, it was a bigger tourist attraction in Canada than Niagara Falls. And it was making the Ontario government millions of dollars every year.
And it was a theme park, or it was literally just a glass cage, essentially, in which these five girls played or did whatever they had to do?
Pretty much, yeah. They would have a schedule up about what they were going to be doing, and the girls were brought out at certain times, and people would just be watching through the one-way glass, and the girls wouldn't be able to see them or even know that people were there because there was high walls all around them. And this is essentially where they lived for most of their childhood until they were returned to their family in about 1943. But, you know, it was called Quintland. There were gift shops and things like that. And it was very much an amusement park built up around them. And it was very much treated as if they were this oddity or this tourist attraction in this human zoo.
And the doctor who helped birth them, he too became a celebrity. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dr. Alan Defoe, he, you know, credit where credit is due, he did ensure that they survived, which was not easy, especially in the 1930s. And then he became very famous because people wanted to know more about him and how he was able to ensure their survival. And he made millions of dollars off of them. And movies were made that starred the Quints, and they would have a character based off Dr. Defoe. And there was eventually kind of a council made that was supposed to oversee the children. And he was on it until he was removed from it because he was starting to profit so much from it.
And the parents eventually got custody back of the girls. What happened then?
Well, unfortunately, it wasn't a very happy reunion for the families because the girls have essentially grown up in a very sheltered, constructive environment inside of the Quintland. So when they were returned to their families when they were about 10 years old or so, they were going into a family they barely even knew. The family spoke French, they spoke English, and they were very much treated like outsiders. And they eventually wrote a book about their experiences and their tales of abuse and things like that. For the girls in the family. And eventually when they turn 18, they kind of just go their own way and leave their family behind because the family in many ways, even though they were making so much money off of them, also resented the children.
And then in later life, they took action, didn't they, over the abuse that they'd suffered?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there was a trust fund that was created for the Quints when they were children, and all this money was being put into it. But unfortunately, people were also dipping their hands into it and taking money out. So by the time they turned 18, there was very little left over for them. And one Quint, Marie, she died in 1950 when she was in a convent. Another died in 1974. So the last of the Quints, Yvonne, Cecile, and Annette in the 1990s launched a lawsuit against the Ontario government to be able to get some money back. And the Ontario government offered about $2,000 a month, and they flatly refused that. And eventually they were awarded a few million dollars and got an official policy. But the three Quints lived together until eventually they all passed away over the course of about 20 years in the 21st century.
And Annette Dion has now died, the last of those five girls. She was 91. Craig Baird, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.